Take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to go to Psalm chapter number 68. Psalm chapter 68. This week, we're going to have the second half of the sermon that we started last week. And by design, it's a two-part sermon. If you'll remember, I told you last week we were going to have a series. I don't know how long it will be. It's going to be entitled Destructive Behavior. Destructive behavior. Last week we had part number one of a sermon on the subject of rebellion. This week we're going to look at that very same topic again, and I'll review from last week and then we'll get into some new material. If you would stand with me, please. Psalm chapter 68, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to start with verse number one. Psalm chapter 68, starting with verse number one, the Bible says, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered, but them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire, and so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in the families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, get involved in the teaching. Help us, Father, not to learn in our own strength or with our own wisdom, but might we learn in the power of the Holy Spirit this evening. God, help us not to be guilty of the sin of rebellion. Help us not to suffer the consequences of being rebellious in our lives. Now, Lord, we do live in a rebellious, hateful, violent generation. Help us not to be like them. Help us to be like Jesus, please. Again, bless the teaching tonight. Make us better because of what we learn. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I want you to notice there in Psalm 68, it says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and them that hate him." Last week, I told you that the word rebellion, it actually comes from a Latin word, which means the waging of war. When someone is being rebellious, the way God sees it, is they're waging war against something. We can see that in this passage of Scripture, God refers to those that were his enemies and those that hate him. They have rebelled against God. Rebellion is a form of rejection. Rebellion is a form of resistance against authority, truths, or concepts. And God is the ultimate authority of life. The Word of God is the ultimate authority, and God has chosen that it be that way. And so what God is basically telling us, when you see the word rebellion, he is seeing it as if someone has developed actions and attitudes that war against God, war against right. So a rebellious person is waging war in some area of life. Now, to me, that seems quite extreme, but that's how God sees it. I think it sheds some light on the subject of rebellion. Some, and in this generation and in others, but right now, we have an element in America who are rebellious, and they think it's a feather in their cap. But God does not see it that way. God says you are waging war against right. Hey, and let me tell you, that is a destructive behavior. And in a few minutes tonight, I'll review. It'll take us a few points to get there. But when we get to the latter part of the sermon tonight, I'm going to show you what God says are the results that come upon a rebellious person. And boy, you'll see, it's a rebellion creates a destruction, and we certainly don't want to have our potentials, our lives destroyed, and I don't think God wants to destroy. And so, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about rebellion. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 2, the last part of the verse, it says, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. In Daniel 9:5, it says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The Bible says in Numbers 14:9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. When we were reading earlier in Psalm 68, verse number 6, it says this, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You say, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, you do understand that without moisture, without liquid, without that moisture that comes, something is going to dry up and die. Your body is made primarily of liquid. You're made up of water, H2O, if you will. And if you were to dry up, you would die. I was talking to one of our men earlier, and out in the heat, and then in a very unique situation, and probably got dehydrated today. And in a moment, you can get dehydrated, and your body will respond to it almost in a destructive fashion. You can die from dehydration. You've got to keep yourself hydrated. Well, when it says here that the rebellious dwell in a dry land, I think there's a lack of prosperity. God is saying it'll bring death to life. It'll dry up all the good things. Sherry planted some flowers for us in the breezeway out here, and if you walked in, they were very, very beautiful. You did notice the ones on Sunday did not look like that, right? They had dried up. They had been scorched and they were hot. And I think when God talks about the rebellious, he says they dwell in a dry land. When you're rebellious, the blessing of God, the joy in your life, the prosperity in your life will dry up. And there'll be no green. It'll not be fresh. It will not bring forth fruit. It will not look attractive. And that's what happens. And that's what rebellion can do to us. Lots of rebellion in the Bible. Last week I took you from person to person, and we talked about some of the rebellion in the Bible. Lucifer in Isaiah 14, and Korah in Numbers 16. Jonah in Jonah 1, and King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, and Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, and Sanballat and Tobiah in Nehemiah chapter 2. Folks, you know, we can all be guilty of this thing called rebellion. It's seeing children can rebel against their parents. And boys and girls, when you rebel against your mom and dad, God sees it as you're virtually declaring war against what your mom and dad are standing for. Hey, and in most cases, your mom and dad are just standing for what God would stand for. If mom and dad tell you to be good and obey, that's what God wants you to do. So if you rebel against your mom and dad, you're virtually declaring war against mom and dad in that area, and they're standing for God. People can rebel against the laws and the rules of a land. Wives can rebel against husbands, and subjects, if you will, can rebel against kings, and followers can rebel against leaders, and privates can rebel against sergeants and captains, and church members can rebel against church leadership, and students can rebel against teachers. Christians can rebel against God. We ought to be very careful with this thing called rebellion. It will dry up the prosperity in your life, and it'll keep you from being fruitful. Last week, I made 5 points. Let me remind you of them very quickly. I told you we should not rebel against God's word. It tells us that in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Folks, don't rebel against the word of God. Secondly, I recommended to us that we should not rebel against God's Holy Spirit. We said that because in Isaiah 63:10 it uses these words, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Not only should we not rebel against the Word of God, we should not rebel against the Spirit of God. Then, thirdly, I said we should not rebel against counsel, rebel against getting it, or rebel against right counsel, where the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children that saith to the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. God was saying there is a lack of counsel, or they're seeking the wrong counsel, or they're rejecting counsel, and God said that's a sign of rebellion. Fourthly, last week we said we should be careful that we don't rebel in our thoughts. The Bible says this in Isaiah 65:2, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God said, be careful, because the truth is rebellion starts on the inside and then works its way out. We don't rebel on the outside first. We rebel on the inside, and then it works its way out. And God is saying, be careful that you're not rebellious in thought. Because if you're rebellious in thought, eventually the thoughts will work their way out. That's where the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is in you in abundance will eventually come out. So if you're rebellious on the inside, sooner or later, that rebellion is going to slip out and it'll start becoming a part of your life. So God warned us, don't be rebellious in your thoughts. And then fifthly, the very last thing that I said last week was this: we should not rebel by refusing to listening to preaching. And that's where I talked about the importance of church membership, and then while we're here, not listening to what's being preached. I would think it would be a dangerous thing to have a pastor teaching on the subject of rebellion and for us to be rebelling while he's teaching on the subject of rebelling. That would seem to me like a dangerous combination. Now, we're going to go on. I have some new points, and we're just going to make this point number six. We got the first five in last week, and that's how it was planned. Number six, we should not rebel by putting his law behind our backs. And those are scriptural words, and I'm going to read a verse to you, and you'll understand where point number six comes from. I said we should not rebel by putting his law behind our backs. In Nehemiah chapter 26, the very first part of the verse, it says this: nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs. I thought that is unique enough that we ought to take a moment and be warned about this thing of rebelling and putting the law of God or the word of God behind our backs. You say, what do you think that's talking about? Well, I'm wondering if that's not telling us that, you know, God comes to convict you in your mind, and you want to get it out of your mind. You want to press it to the back of your mind. Or maybe this is about something that we used to live for God, but we have become backslidden and we've left some truth. We've left some things behind. Now, folks, let me tell you something. As we grow in the Lord, we're supposed to be very, very, very careful that we are adding to our Christian life, not taking away. And I would be spending some time with some veteran missionaries at the beginning of the month of September, and it was my privilege when Dr. Hiles was alive. One day he talked to me about, now he was in his 70s, and he talked to me about some of the things he did as a 70-year-old preacher to help himself to remain consistent in the ministry. And this is what he said. He said, you know, as you get older, if you're not careful, there are areas where you could slip. And he said, you want to be careful as you get older to keep growing. And don't start on purpose going backwards. He said, you might not do as much as what you once could physically, but that gives you no right to be less of a Christian because you're 70 than what you were when you were 50. And let me recommend to all of us, our bodies may slow down, but our Christianity is supposed to go on. We're not supposed to love God less when we get older. We're to love God more. We're not to trust God less when we get older. We're to trust God more. And even as far as serving, listen, you cannot, maybe as an older person, you cannot maybe put as many hours in or have as much energy. But whatever level of energy you have, you ought to be investing what energy you can in serving God. Be careful not to put your service to God behind you. Make sure you're still serving Him. Keep it current. Keep it up to date. God said, these people rebelled by putting the things of God behind them. Folks, I don't think we can ever graduate out of the responsibility of loving God. I don't think we can ever graduate out of a responsibility to tithe. I don't think anybody is ever released from the responsibility of witnessing. You're to tell people about Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's behind me. That in years gone by, I used to be like that. I used to do that. I think the Bible's saying here there are people that are rebellious that take the things of God and leave them behind and move on in life. And maybe that's a picture of being backslidden. Or maybe it's people thinking they grow out of certain things. They've arrived. Folks, none of us have arrived. We're still a bunch of sinners saved by grace that are in deep, deep debt to the God that saved us and made it so we could go to heaven. We're to keep serving all the way to the end. But I just put it this way. We should not rebel by putting His law behind our backs. Let me give you number seven. Number seven. We should not rebel by attacking the preacher who calls us down about our rebellion. We should not rebel by attacking the preacher who calls us down about our rebellion. So you all know there's nobody attacking me about my teaching on rebellion, but I want to show you what the Scripture says about it. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the very passage that we use for this thing of putting the law of God behind our back, it says this. It says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their back. It says, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them. Now, what that passage is saying is these rebellious people, they were called rebels by the prophets or the men of God, so they killed the men of God. Could I recommend something? And I do like the application of this. Don't kill the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. So you all know, I didn't write the book that I preach. I'm just a representative. If I would have written the book, it probably have been a comic book. It wouldn't have been like this. But this book is a strong book. And I you have to understand, I was given a charge. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. And it was to preach the Word of God. And I'm to preach it in season, out of season. I'm told that I'm to reprove, rebuke. I'm to do that with all long-suffering and doctrine. But I'm supposed to reprove. I'm supposed to rebuke. Now, God help me that I ever come to the pulpit and throw a fit about some sin because I'm trying to attack somebody in here. I really don't think I have that on my record. I don't want to attack people with my preaching, but I will attack sin. And you might say, well, preacher, I felt like I was getting attacked. Well, you have to know something. Obviously, I don't know what everybody does all the time. I don't know what you do on Monday. You say, you do too. You have to. There's no way you could say some of the things you say without you knowing what I'm up to. Maybe somebody else sees you. And here's what I'd like to do. I'm gonna cast blame. If you want to get mad at somebody for what the Word of God says, take it up with God. If you want to take somebody on, maybe you ought to take God on. Because really, although I'm a pastor and a member could rebel against pastoral leadership, that's not what I'm talking about. The truth of the matter is, when you rebel against right, you're rebelling against God. But in Nehemiah, it said the people, they were rebellious. And when the preacher started calling a rebel a rebel, they said, we'll take care of you. We'll just kill you. Now, that's a real bummer. You know, that's occupational hazard. But that's what happened. You say, did it happen much? Sure. John the Baptist got up and preached a sermon against adultery, and they cut his head off. And I'm sad at the thought of it, but it may just come in our generation too. They're getting harder and harder on people that have moral values. They're wanting to make us look like we're the oddballs. And the truth of the matter is, all we're doing is representing the God that chose what morality really is. But this thing of destructive behavior, remember, rebellion is a declaring of war. Don't declare war on the man of God if he preaches the Word of God. Now, I want to take the rest of the lesson, and I want to, the way I have it written here in my thinking and my outline, I want to talk to you about the results of rebellion. What does the Bible teach the results would be if we declare war against right? If we declare war against the Bible? or in any one of the seven ways that I've already mentioned. And you might say, well, preacher, I'm not really declaring war. You're going to have to accept the way God sees it, not the way you see it. God says that when we are in an act of rebellion, it is a resistance, it is a rejection, it is seen as an act of war against right. Now, I'm going to very quickly show you some of the results, according to the Bible, for rebellion. First of all, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 12:15 that if you're guilty of rebellion, that the hand of the Lord could come against you. The hand of the Lord could come against you. Let me read it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15 says, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you." So one of the results of rebellion is that the hand of the Lord could be against you. What does it mean, the hand of the Lord? It sounds to me like you're about to get backhanded by God. God's got pretty big hands. God has very strong hands, and His hands are quite capable. You know, you've heard the song, "He's got the whole world in His hands." I'd hate to have somebody backhand me that's got the whole world in His hands. That sounds like brass knuckles to me. But the Bible says, God said, when you rebel, My hand will come against you. I was growing up, and every once in a while, my mom and dad had their hands come against me, and that wasn't real pleasant. But I certainly don't want my Heavenly Father to have to take me to the woodshed. Let me go on. What happens? What are the results of this declaring of war or this rebellion that can be found in our lives? Next, the Bible says that God may pronounce a woe on us. W-O-E. Let me read to you from Hosea chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me, though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howl upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me." The verse starts out, and God pronounces a woe on them. And He said, it's because they have rebelled against me. So rebellion will cause God to pronounce a woe against you. You say, what is that? That woe means watch out. In modern day vernacular, it's watch out. It's a word of alarm. It's a word of warning. You know, the fire department, when they're responding to a fire, the siren down at the department goes off. And that's to let all the cars coming up the street know them fire trucks are going to be blazing out of the fire station. And then they've got that siren going all the way. What is it? It's warning. Let me tell you something. God is saying here, I sound a warning. It's like a battle cry. Anytime you see in the Bible God pronouncing a woe, that might not mean a lot to you. You say, it's just a simple little woe. It's an alarm. God is saying, watch out. You've stirred me up. Something is coming, and it's coming at you very quickly. It is virtually signifying a preemptive strike. So you say, a strike with what? Well, He said He's going to take His hand to us. And so it may be the chastisement of God is on the way. So when we have this destructive behavior, rebellion, when we are virtually declaring war against the things of God, He said, my hand may have to come against you. He said, I will pronounce a woe, which is an alarm. It's a watch out that comes from God. Thirdly, God's anger could be kindled against us. God's anger could rise up against us. Let me read to you again from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 42 and 43. And it says this, "We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned, thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us." Here, the writer said, we rebelled and God is now angry. If it happened to the people in the day of Lamentations, let me believe you, the same God is alive and capable today. Now, I have to tell you, I've got a hunch that if God wants to get angry, he probably can throw a pretty good fit. Now, we all have to understand something. When you and I, the Bible says, it tells us, it says, be angry and sin not. That means this. There is a way to be angry and it not be sin. God is 100% capable of extreme anger and it not being sin. Now, I like the fact that God likes me. I don't think I'd like the fact if God ever looked down and said, Owens, I'm angry. Oh, brother, that does not sound good at all. The God that can create the universe, the God that can do the mighty things that God has done. Look, he said, rebellion could cause me to use my righteous anger on you. Sounds to me like that this thing of rebellion, it's not just discomfortable for God. This may be one of the things that he hates. The book of Proverbs says, these six things doth the Lord hate. That doesn't mean there's only six things the Lord hates. It means that there are things that God hates. You say, well, how can God hate if he's God? Again, he is God. God is a God of perfect love, and God is a God of perfect hate. They're attributes of purity. And now we find out that God can be angered, and that anger could be powerful. His anger is strong. I believe this. I believe God's anger can be as strong as God's love. Can I recommend all of us? Don't make God angry. Don't make God angry. We had a kid by the name of Dwight Rhines that used to go to my high school. He was a country boy, and he was about as calm and pleasant a guy you could be around. And he was every bit, he was a country boy. And some of what I call the punks in school would always give Dwight a hard time. They would give him a hard time. They'd go up, and I remember them flipping his ears and mocking him and teasing him. And I watched them. I watched them push him through 7th grade and then push him through 8th grade and pick on him and tantalize him. Now, let me explain. Dwight baled hay all the way through the summer, every day, all day long. And Dwight took care of the cows and the horses. And Dwight was, he wasn't a twerp. But the thing is, they didn't know. They didn't know because they would pick on him and pick on him and pick on him. And I remember one day we were on the baseball field. It wasn't recess. It must have been at phys ed time. And a couple of the punks got to picking on Dwight. And he was standing up. It was his bat, and they were mocking and teasing him. And the pitcher had thrown a ball and tried to hit him. And the pitcher came up and was giving him a hard time and knocked his baseball hat off. I'll never forget what I watched Dwight do. One punch, Dwight knocked that kid out. And anyway, that kid went, poosh. And that day, everybody in my high school developed a respect for Dwight Rhines. And you know what? You know what everybody said for about 2 weeks afterwards? Don't make him mad. It took him 3 years to get mad. And I was friendly with Dwight, and I was glad because I thought, hey man, this is a good guy to have back you up. But I'll never forget. And when I watched, when he took that arm back, them old country biceps that had been baling hay and taking care of the cows, and he didn't even try hard. He just knocked a pretty boy out. Now he's out cold, and everybody's going, whoa. Let me tell you something. You can push God in your rebellion, and you can push God, and you can flip him behind the ears and mock him. But the day that God takes his hand back and decides that he's going to, I wouldn't make him angry. That's what I'm saying. Because you could be sorry. There are times in generations past where they rebelled against God, and when God got finished, they said, hoo, hoo, hoo. You don't want to go down that path. If you don't believe it, just ask Sodom and Gomorrah. We could push God too far. We could push him too far. So, the hand of the Lord could be against us because of rebellion. He could pronounce a woe, which is a warning. It's a preempt. It's a preemptive strike warning. His anger could come upon us. Then, the next thing that I found about this, the result of rebellion, the declaring of war against right, is that you may find yourself feeling outnumbered by wrong, or feeling outnumbered or surrounded by your enemies. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says this, "As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord." In this passage of Scripture, what's being taught there, if I gave you all the verses that go along with it, what's happening here is somebody that had been rebellious now feels surrounded by their enemy. I'm glad that you and I, as Christians, God tells us that He will give us certain protections in life. He will try to protect us against our enemies. But here, He's saying, if you rebel against me, I may withhold my hand of protection, and some of your enemies will get a shot at you. I think your rebellion against God will, I think it's going to affect your security in life. You begin to feel outnumbered. God tells you not to misuse drugs. Can I tell you something that happens to people that get high? They suffer with a thing that they call being paranoid. They could be getting high, and while they're in the living room getting high, somebody knocks on the door, and they all freak out. Because in their brain, it's the cops, and they're going to get busted. So eat the dope. And it's a little old lady next door that's coming over looking for her cat, Pewy. Is Pewy here? No, Pewy's not here. Well, we just ate the dope. Why? Yeah, come on. Some of you that are from the rough life, you know exactly what paranoia is. When you're rebelling, it lowers somehow our security. I can remember rebelling against my parents. And when I would rebel against my parents, and they didn't know that they didn't know that I had gone to do my own thing. I could get home, and mother said, you know, don't go do this, and I snuck out and did it. And my mother did not know that I had gone to do it. But I'd get home, and my mom would say, "Jeff, come in here and sit down. I want to talk to you." I'm going in there, and I'm going, "Oh, Mom, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry." She says, "Sorry for what? I just want to talk to you about, you know, we're going to go to the store tonight." And I'm thinking, "Oh, brother, I just told myself what happened." My resistance, I knew there was a problem. Now, listen, God, in this passage of Scripture, says, when you rebel, I can withhold the securities in life. Maybe your emotional resistance is weakened. Hey, you get to feeling like everybody's against you. And that's not necessarily the truth. But in rebellion, There's a retracting of security. If you want to be secure, get yourself right with God. Hey, we live in the United States of America. There are other countries in the world that would like to take shots at us. As we live through this as citizens here in the United States, could I recommend something to all of you? Don't rebel against God if you think our country's going to go to war. You want to know how to be secure during wartime in America? Get yourself as close to God as you can. You say, why? Let God be true. Let His enemies be scattered. You see, when you and I stick close to God, there is a security and a confidence that is made available to us. But if we rebel against God, it's going to create paranoia. And I think we could actually be hurt by our enemies as a result of God withholding His protection. I've got to move on. I said this, the results of rebellion, His hand could be against us, 1 Samuel 12:15. Secondly, He could pronounce a woe upon us, Hosea 7, verse 13 and 14. Then next, His anger could be kindled against us, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 42 and 43. Number four, we'll feel surrounded by our enemies, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Then, next, I think rebellion will bring the result of limited success in the Christian life. Rebellion against God and against right, rebellion in our life could result in limited success in our lives. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 20, verse number 24. The Bible says this, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word. In that passage of Scripture, rebellion happened. As a result of the rebellion, somebody didn't get to go into the promised land. What is that? Rebellion brought limited success. And hey, look, you go to the military, you go to boot camp. If you don't, if you rebel at boot camp, let me promise you something. You are going to have limited success in the military. Young people, you go to school and you rebel while you're at school. I'll guarantee you limited success at school. Tomorrow, you go to work and you rebel against the owner of the company. You rebel against the manager or the supervisor. I will guarantee you limited success. Children, you rebel against mom and dad. I guarantee you limited success. And that's exactly what's taking place here. They rebelled as a result of it. They did not get to go into the promised land. You say, in what ways? Well, it may not even be that the limited success is in the area of the rebellion. It may be that you will just have a series of failures in life. I wonder if our rebellion does not limit us financially. I wonder if our rebellion limits us in our relationships. I wonder if our rebellion can limit our influence in life. I believe this. According to the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible even tells us if you and I rebel against God in the way that we take the Lord's Supper, we may even lose our health, even to the point of losing our life. So rebellion could actually bring the loss of health, or rebellion could bring the loss of life. So remember, rebellion is an attack, if you will. It is waging war against right. That's the attitude, and that's the way God sees it. Let's see. Let me give you one more, and we'll be done. If you rebel, it may be that when you rebel, and you fall because of it, maybe the limited success, it may be that you won't get back up. Now, it's one thing to have fallen and gotten back up. It's another thing that if you are perpetually rebelling, God says there's a chance you may fall down and stay down. Now, I think we're all going to fall down some, but if your rebellion is extreme enough, I think there are people that fall down and they stay down. Now, they don't lose their salvation. But you know, you could lose the blessing of God, and maybe you won't get it back. Maybe you'll go to your grave in a backslidden, terrible, wicked, nasty condition. Let me read to you from Psalm 107, verse 11 and 12. Remember, watch for the word rebel, rebellion. It says, Psalm 107, verse 11, it says, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Here God is saying they went down, and nobody could help them get back up. I'm so glad I'm a part of a church that if I stumble, somebody will try to help me get back up. Thank God for that. Boy, what a wonderful thing. But here it says that there was nobody to help these people up. What happened? They had rebelled. They rebelled to the point that there wasn't anybody to help them get back on their feet. That's a dangerous thing. That is a dangerous thing. If you rebel enough, you may find yourself outside the realm of God's permitted help. Maybe other Christians. Hey, and I don't think, folks, I don't think I'm supposed to make this call. I don't think you and I as Christians, I don't think, say, somebody in the church, they rebel against God. So we all decide, well, I think they've rebelled to the point that nobody should ever help them again. I don't think that's the call of the Christian. I think this is the call of God. But I don't want to ever try to make that call and say, look, I'm never going to help them because they've rebelled so much. I always want to try to restore people. I'm a restorer. I think that's my job as a pastor. But I do see here that it did happen, and it can happen, to where God makes the call. And God says, you went down, you rebelled, I'm going to make it so nobody helps you get back up. And that's a dangerous way to live. God is the one who could say, that's it. I'm not going to help again. And there are times, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about people that push God away and push God away and push God away. And the Bible says there even comes a day if you rebel enough that when your calamity comes, God said, I'll laugh. Now, I'm not to laugh when your calamity comes. You're not to laugh when my calamity comes. But God is God. And God said, you rebel against me enough, when you go down, I don't have to help you get back up. And I could laugh when your calamity cometh as a whirlwind. I can laugh if I want to. Now, I'll tell you what. You say, well, what would cause that? Rebellion. Rebellion. Rejection, resistance of right. The Latin word meaning the waging of war against righteousness, or the right one, who is God. Let's be careful. And remember, rebellion could be children against their parents. It could be husbands and wives against one another. It could be fellowship and leadership. We don't want to be guilty of rebellion. I'll read to you Psalm 68:6, and then we'll close out the sermon. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God will limit our successes because of this thing called rebellion. No doubt, rebellion is a destructive behavior. You hurt yourself, you hurt God, the things of God, the church, your family. Let's not be guilty of rebellion. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let the scripture be applied to your life tonight. Take a look at what's been taught. There's been scripture. There's been scriptural backing on every point. Oh, be careful not to rebel against God. Who here would say, Pastor, God, boy, I needed that. That's going to help me. There's something that I needed within the sermon. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need to come, you come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment, you might need to come and get on your knees and say, God, help me. Help me not to be rebellious. Whether you're a young person, hey, there are a bunch of you young people, you're getting ready to start school. Now be careful, don't go to school and be rebellious. There's some of you constantly sassing mom and dad. You rebel against mom, you rebel against dad. Let the sermon help you. Now, there are consequences of rebellion if you're rebellious at work. Now, and I'll tell you this, you're to obey God. You know, if the boss tells you to go rob a bank, you're not supposed to go rob a bank. But the problem is, the boss probably isn't telling you to go rob a bank. He's telling you to get the lead out and go make something happen. And when you rebel at work, you're walking on thin ice, because God says rebellion is someone waging war against right. Let's not let that be our behavior. Let's not let rebellion affect the church. Let's not let rebellion affect our families. And America needs to get on track and get right with God. That's what she needs. She needs an old-fashioned revival and stop rebelling against the things of God. That rebellion in our country will cause our country to be dried up. And America is not like she used to be. She's not like she used to be. Why? I think there's been a lot of rebellion in our country through the years. This is the last time through the song, and in a moment, we'll go through our prayer list and you'll be on your way. Destructive behavior.